I'm Henry Lynn.
And I'm Barnett Zittrin.
And welcome to Better World.
Welcome. Better World is an exploration of badass people doing really good things.
The more we know about this world, the better we can do in changing it.
So welcome to Better World.
Barnett, rumor on the street is that you're into performance art these days.
I am, only if it involves China-U.S. business alliances.
That's correct. And great views of the park, as it turns out.
Yeah, we could see not only both rivers, but almost all bodies of water.
So, hey, listeners, we don't normally start off with private inside jokes. That's a lie, we do. Barnett and I pitched a business alliance today for a retail concept to help such purveyors of things like bamboo toilet paper and breadfruit flour and even environmental and sustainable beauty products to sell themselves in retail locations in airports throughout the world. Better World is seeking to go retail. Media retail.
Content. Commerce. Content. Retail.
Also, I've been thinking about some new openings, like, you know, like, in a world where Better World. What do you think?
Just say the world, like, over and over again.
World.
Yeah, I mean, we could.
We could try it
out.
Okay. Yeah. There is a often told story that if you don't put on suntan lotion, you're going to cook and die. And it turns out that if you do put on suntan lotion, it's going to run off and cause coral bleaching, because one of the primary chemicals in suntan lotion kills coral. There is no shortage of bad for tested on animals beauty products in the world today. And we happen to have a solution.
Are we going to talk more about how suntan lotion kills coral? Because this is news to me.
I think we're going to get into it. Do you want to introduce our guest today?
You do it.
No. You got this one.
No, you do it.
No. You got this one. How do you pronounce it?
Marcella.
Marcella Cacci is with us today from One Ocean Beauty. Did we get that right? Or is it OCN? It could be OCN.
No, One Ocean. You got it. You got it.
OneOceanBeauty.com.
.com. Yes. Hello.
Thank you for coming. Welcome. So please tell us a little bit about your product and how you got to it.
Well, I think when I started working on it, I really, really thought there was a void in the market for clean products, but clean products that were effective. And also, you know, when I think about the beauty world, there's just, as you said, there's, you know, there's so many products out there that actually have so many ingredients that are toxic to humans and the environment. So it's really, you know, it was really important for us to think about how do we, you know, make the beauty world and the beauty industry rethink what they're doing. So that was one of our most, you know, that was really how we kind of started out. Say, how do we rethink this? Because what's happening now isn't working. It's not working for people. It's not working for the environment.
So what are some of the core differentiators of the products that you guys have? Or would you like to tell us a little bit about what's wrong with beauty today?
Well, I think firstly, there's a few things wrong with beauty today. I mean, one, you know, we're working in the area of clean beauty, and that already is just such a small percentage of the beauty market.
Right.
And when we say clean, you know, everybody, there's so many variations of what is clean. We tried to use a list that a retailer called Credo puts out. It's called the Dirty List. And there's also other retailers like Detox Market, different people that are areas where you can find this information. But, for instance, there's over 1,400 ingredients that are banned in Europe that are completely legal in the U.S. for cosmetic products. So it's really incredible. So
1,400?
Yeah, over 1,400.
Wow.
And the last piece of major legislation in the U.S. Around cosmetics and cosmetic ingredients was in 1938. So that just tells you everything.
Okay. What?
Yeah.
That is so old.
No joke.
My dad's a year older than that.
Is that real?
Yeah, he's old.
Oh, he's old AF. Yeah.
Hey, be careful.
Well, that's an absurd amount of, or lack of oversight.
Exactly. So I think the consumer is now becoming more educated to what these issues are and what these chemicals do. They're hormone disruptors, they're cancer causing. So one of our biggest points was really to create something, one, that was clean. But then there was a second piece. There's a lot of clean brands on the market. Not a lot. There's, again, the small group. But within that group, there's not a lot of products that we call effective. And when we say effective, we mean that have active ingredients that actually work. So there's a lot of natural products, which are great, but you're never going to see never going to see a 29% in your wrinkle reduction, you know, wrinkles or coarseness of the skin. They just don't have those active ingredients. So we really set out to prove that, you know, what you could make.
Is that a chemical problem, or is that a availability of natural resources herbs problem? Is it a function of the fact that you can get, you know, a really shitty for you chemical to do a great reduction on something, but you can't get that in nature, or are we just not getting it from nature and it's our fault?
It's our fault. We can get it from nature. But actually, the dirty ingredients, which we call them, are really not so much the active ingredient. They're much more of the filler ingredients. So they're the things like sulfates and phthalates and PEGs, all these words you've probably heard flying around.
For you? I see gum everywhere.
Gum, yes. Petroleum, mineral oil, nanoparticles, all these kind of words you start seeing, hearing. But most of them have nothing to do with the active ingredient. What they have to do with is really what makes the formula fluffy or feel silky or smell a certain way or have a certain color. So I think women and men alike have been convinced by these cosmetic companies that it's supposed to be green and it's supposed to feel a certain way and it's supposed to be very thick. I mean, there's actually plasticizers in a lot of moisturizers just so they feel thick.
Jesus.
So it's crazy.
I'm just going to rub plastic on my face?
That's it. I'm going to put it all over.
Sure.
And most people don't know that. So I think it's one, you know, but the problem is, how do you make a formulation without all of those ingredients, especially when the consumer is used to them?
So what are your core differentiators in your formulas?
So what we did was we removed all those. So we had to make natural substitutes. So you have active ingredients, which come from very specialized labs. So even all the big companies, which create dirty products, will still use great active ingredients. But then
are your active ingredients from marine life?
Our active ingredients are actually from marine life. So they're all, we use biotechnology, blue biotechnology. So not only are we sustainable in our packaging, which I'll get to, but we're sustainable actually in our production. So instead of harvesting, because a lot of companies, not so many, but a small group
decimate
of us.
Decimate an ecosystem by doing that kind of harvesting, I would imagine, yeah.
Exactly. And there's a group of companies that use algaes and seaweeds and microalgaes because they're very effective. I mean, we know they're effective. We know they've been effective for years. But they go out and harvest. So what we do is we don't harvest, we use biotechnology and we reproduce in the lab. So our production is completely sustainable and we're never hurting the biodiversity of the oceans. So it's pretty interesting. It's kind of nature and science combining.
Yeah.
Like Captain Planet.
Yes.
Very much like Captain Planet. I learned the other day that in medicine and supplements and cosmetics, over 50% of the active ingredients actually do come from nature. It's, you know, then becomes an issue of bioavailability and how things are synthesized that makes it unnatural. And I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's really interesting when you get into it and you start to understand the difference. But the active ingredients, another thing, you know, we tried to do is not only did we want to come up with a clean product and a clean product that was effective, but we also want it to be sustainable. So all of our packaging, so we're sustainable in our production, which I just talked about. All of our packaging, so our inner packaging and our outer packaging is 100% recyclable. So zero waste.
Amazing.
That's like unheard of in the beauty industry.
Right.
Yeah,
because it's all plastic pucks.
Exactly.
Where did you go to find out about that? Like,
yeah,
because there's that place.
That produced,
isn't there that place, Material X? You know what I'm talking
about. I've heard of that. Yeah. We started with the Luxe Pack. You know, going to the packaging shows, I was amazed that I thought, there's going to be everything eco-friendly, and still in beauty and cosmetics,
it was one guy in the corner.
Yeah, there was like two guys in the corner, and they pulled something out from under the table that was dusty, and said, "This is our eco-friendly option." Oh, I'm like, "You've got to be kidding me!"
Right? Oh my God, we need to have a podcast on packaging.
You should. It's fascinating. And in the beauty business, I mean, no one. I probably would, you know, without knowing off the top of my head.
Do you want to call it what's in
the box? There you go.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Or it's not in the box. Yeah. So no, that's interesting. Yes. So we're all sustainable.
He's back.
It is.
So no. Barnett's alter ego aside, who visits us from time to time.
Only when I'm super relaxed and in the mood, sort of.
Speak.
It's a fluid thing. Yeah. I'm very, very interested to hear how you got into the sourcing of these products and like what your journey was to come to it, and hear a little bit more about what you think the direction of the beauty industry is going to be. And of course, we want to hear about your diverse product set. I know you guys have collagen and moisturizers. But before we get to it, we have to take a commercial break real quick.
Mm. Pay the bells.
He loves the commercials. Are we sponsored today by the U.S.-China Business Alliance?
Oh, we should be.
We should be.
But we're not.
Today, our sponsor is none other, ironically, than Plastic Packaging Blind Barber. The Blind Barber has a men's hair care and beauty line that can be acquired at blindbarber.com. Blind Barber, urging you to stay handsome. Thanks, Blind Barber. We appreciate you and everything that you do.
And thank you also always to The Smile.
For their chicken.
For their chicken, for their podcast studio, which is sponsored by Shinola, and smileradio.fm.
I hear their director of operations is a hot mom. It's taken me 9 episodes to bring it up, but
that's
just what I heard.
She is, but she's also the brand director. She's not.
My bad. My bad.
Yeah, the director of operations doesn't identify as a woman because he's a man.
That's outstanding.
And he's not the mother of my baby.
Also, good side.
But shout out to him, too.
Shout out to him, too. Well, okay. We are back. Welcome back, Marcella.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit first about the product line that you have currently.
We have 5 products. Something that we wanted to do was kind of simplify beauty a little bit. I'm not a beauty addict. I'm not running out to the store to buy every new thing. I like to just have a few things that work. And that was really how we thought about the line. So we wanted it to be more from a consumer perspective. So there's 5 products, super simple system, a cleanser, a moisturizer, an eye cream, a serum, and an ingestible. So 5 products, and you use them in different ways, morning and night. Very, very simple.
Great.
Amazing.
I asked Henry the other day how he doesn't have such big bags under his eyes, because I was kind of like, I'm at that age now where I'm trying to find the right solution.
I told you, without batting an eye, no pun intended, I feed off the vitality of young women.
Awful. Awful.
I'm not even going to touch that.
No, don't touch it. I will say that. So Lindsay, my beautiful wife, told me that I should get fillers. And I was like, I don't think so.
No.
I'm going to go ahead and just say no to that.
No.
One.
Yeah, just say no.
Yeah.
I'm even going to say that.
Yeah, no.
Try our eye cream. One of our actives, no joke, was actually originally developed for men.
Really?
So when it went through all its clinical trials, the trials were all on men. Because men, you don't have much worse than women, but that you do.
Yeah.
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 So.
Well, that was me fishing for some One Ocean Beauty.
It worked. It worked. It worked. Hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah. Sold.
The products, again, all the products are created with marine actives, and we also have peptides. So the peptides are really help with the anti-aging, because as you know, peptides are the building blocks of the protein building blocks. So they're really a combination of both. And I think one of the things that makes
I'm not well-versed in aminos, so okay.
Yeah.
We can maybe, most of our listeners, actually, all 50,000 are well-versed in amino. We can pause for a second. Peptides are something that occur naturally. Mm-hmm. This isn't another additive or chemical. No,
no,
not at all.
No, okay. No. And so all of them are mixes of marine ingredients. And it's interesting the way the marine ingredients are is, basically, algaes are serial survivors.
Right.
So whether they're, we have one algae that comes from Antarctica in the mud in Antarctica. So for that little guy to live, he has cryoprotective qualities. So the scientists have been able to isolate those survival mechanisms and use it in a skincare application. In the application we have, it basically retain more moisture. You're protected against cold weather, against like wind. Another,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So another active we use in the same moisturizer is called wakame. It's a seaweed that you eat at Japanese restaurants.
Sure.
It floats on the sea in Japan. It's very exposed to sun and UV. So it has qualities to kind of survive against that. So when we use it in skincare, it creates a soothing anti-inflammatory.
Wow.
Purposes. So all of the ingredients are from all around the world. So they're sourced globally and they're sourced for what actually their survival mechanisms do and what those qualities are.
Tell me about the hydrolyzed collagen pills that are blue and look like kind of delicious.
They are.
You love a collagen pill.
They are, yes. Yeah. We all love a collagen pill if you're over 30. So the collagen is from deep seawater fish. So it's from cold water as well, because the fish have obviously thicker skin. So it's taken from the skin. It's a byproduct, so it's sustainable as well. And it's the fish skin, and it's also combined with antioxidants. So we have...
What is collagen?
Collagen is something that you have naturally as well. It's in your skin. It's another kind of building block for your skin. So once you get past 30, you start to lose collagen.
Got it.
It is what keeps the elasticity of the skin, so, and the firmness. So as you age, you lose it, and you start losing it around 28, 30 years old. It starts going down. So this doesn't, you know, there's a lot of talk about, can you actually replace it? What I think that we've seen mostly is you can replace a small amount of it, but what ingesting collagen does is help you not to lose more and at the same rate. So that's the kind of the difference.
Got it.
So there's a whole thing in the Wall Street Journal, I don't know, about chicken soup the other day, because they're saying, if I eat chicken soup, am I getting collagen?
Right.
And is that going to help my skin? And, you know, there's a lot of different things that help your skin. And I think, you know, it's your overall health. And one thing about the company that we talk about too, our little mantra is, you know, look good, feel good, do good. And I think all those things do have an effect on the way you live your life, how you look and how you feel and what you give back. So it's not just about, you know, sticking something on your face.
Yeah. I want to talk about giving back and about how I, too, can become an algae seaweed cyborg by using your products. Invincible to cryo, which sounds really exciting. We have to give our last commercial break and shout out to yet another illustrious sponsor. Juice Press.
The best.
The best. The guys who have been making my breakfast for the better part of 4.5 years. Juice Press is a leading provider of organic juices and foods, vegan, and most recently, popcorn and hot sauces. Pretty exciting.
Hot sauce?
Hot sauce.
No way.
With Casey Neistat's face on it. I kid you not.
Whoa.
Yeah, no. It's a big development.
How many locations? 88?
Yeah, we're up to, I think, 83.
Okay.
We're up to 83 locations. Head to juicepress.com for more information. And drink green. It's better for you.
Absolutely. Juicepress.com.
Juicepress.com. Welcome back and thanks again. Marcella, it sounds like you guys have an ethos in helping marine life. Does the product... research and development that you guys do allow you to give back in some capacity? What are, you know, part of your sort of corporate social responsibility give back DNAs?
I think, well, for us, again, when we were starting the company, the whole kind of inspiration for the company for me was the ocean. I grew up on a beach. I'm a beach kid. You know, I was a little kid, 8-year-old, planting the dune grass. So the ocean's been really, it's my happy place. And I read this amazing book on called The Blue Mind. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Never read The Blue Mind.
But it's by Wallace Nichols. And he talks about how when you're by the ocean, not only do you change, you know, psychologically, which we all know, you feel a little calmer, you're relaxed, of course, maybe because you're on vacation, but whatever. But you actually change physiologically.
That so, I didn't know. I knew that, like, the blue of the ocean really chilled you out. And grounded you and lowered, like, cortisol.
Yeah, your cortisol levels drop, right. Your cell structure changes. So it's really very profound.
Cell structure changes.
Yeah, it's very profound. So When I read that, it really, that's kind of what made me really think about doing something with the oceans. And I thought, wow, if I could run a company that was successful, I could donate back to the oceans in a much bigger way than I could on a personal level. And I could create awareness on a much bigger level than
I could. Right, because we're using these good, healthy marine products.
Exactly. And we could talk about them and we could do something. So what we decided to do was we started talking to Oceana. I don't know if you know who they are. Yeah. So we started talking to Oceana probably 2.5 years ago before we even started the project.
For our listeners, who Oceana is?
Oceana is the largest group really in the world protecting and restoring the oceans. So they have 15 offices around the world.
And a killer Instagram, kids.
Yeah.
Go follow.
And they really changed. They really helped change laws. They changed legislation. So they really, they're doing the good work. So we decided to partner with them as their exclusive partner. And when I was thinking about donating, I thought, okay, there's a lot of way, there's, you know, how do consumer good companies donate? You know, right. They donate either a percentage of profit, which on a personal level, I don't really like because I've never seen a company talk about their profits. So I don't really know how much they're donating. And then the second way is a percentage of sales, which I think is great when the companies are transparent and show it. But there's a lot of kind of smoke and mirrors around that as well. So we really wanted to be completely transparent and think about donating in really a different way. I said, why don't we just give a flat fee? Why don't we just say, this is what we can afford. We're going to build it into the operating structure of the company. And that's it. And then everybody can know. We don't have to. You
ground
can just
up, net good company.
Exactly. So we donated $250,000 to Oceana before we even opened the company.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
No joke. So okay. We said, we're doing the real deal. We want to donate something substantial. Because I know as a small company, if we did a percentage of sales, it wouldn't be anything substantial. And then I'm going to go tell my customers, wow, we're really helping the oceans. And we hardly gave anything. So I thought, if we as a small company could do this, maybe we could make bigger corporations think about their funding model. And
hey,
maybe they
Estee
can
Lauder.
Fund. Exactly.
What are you giving lately?
Just maybe think about funding in a different way. So
I'm sorry, Estee Lauder. I should pick on Revlon, too. Hey, Revlon, what have you given?
Yeah, I feel like Estee Lauder does. There's like all the art that they give.
You're
yeah,
to
no.
Well,
I mean it's great.
And lists of like retraction, Estee Lauder stats.
It's just come next. Potential sponsor, you know?
Yeah.
There you
trying
go.
To keep it
there you
kosher.
Go. Right. Keep it kosher. But no, it's just a different way to think about it. So we're really proud of our donation. And also for Oceana, it really helped them because they can plan that. They're not waiting to see how much you sell in a year. They knew how much they had, and they can actually work with that right in the beginning. So we're really proud of that. And we also work with them on a lot of, when we have events, we have them come to our events. We work on beach cleanups with them, on petitions. I mean, there was a whole offshore drilling. We've been working on the seismic blasting and the offshore drilling with them. So it's really part of the DNA of the company. It's not a marketing side gig for us. It really isn't.
Are they useful at all? Were they useful to help you source some of the products? And if not, how did you find out about all of this? Because I feel like that's, whether you're starting a fashion brand or a restaurant or, you know, mm-hmm. so many people these days are brand first and they come mm-hmm. up with the logo mm-hmm. and the visual mm-hmm. identity.
No.
But really, like, the meat and potatoes under a company is what makes it
or breaks product. It. Yeah, it's the product.
And I think that's the hardest thing to figure out for people.
Yeah. Well, we kind of had the idea. So then that was what we had to go out and do, is say, could we find, we didn't know if we could open the company because we didn't know if we could find an ingredient story that would make sense. So, you know, we spent a lot of time researching and going out. And from my past, I mean, I used to run Burberry Beauty. So from my past, you know, I had enough contacts to be able to kind of fish around. And then we found that this lab in Europe was the one we went to, was really the number one in marine ingredients. So that was, we just had it right there. And then when I got there and saw the, you know, their library of marine ingredients, it was just mind-blowing. It was like a kid being in a candy store.
Yeah, that's
incredible.
Cool.
Yeah, really cool.
Wow.
So the real message is that all of the products that you guys source, whether marine or natural, are
they're all marine,
good for the environment, don't have any of the negative effects and the downside. In closing, I would like our listener to note that the thing that they can do to help make the world a better place is to shy away and be knowledgeable about some of the beauty products that they're using and their negative impact. You had mentioned the Dirty Report.
Yeah, it's called Think Dirty. There's an app called Think Dirty, which is really easy.
It.
Yeah,
it's really good
and easy to
and
use.
Literally everything's fucking dirty.
Yeah, yeah. I threw out everything in my house.
Yeah,
toothpaste went out. Laundry detergent went out.
So number one, we have to start thinking cleaner as consumers.
Absolutely.
Go to download Think Dirty and determine what's in whatever it is that you're putting on your skin.
Yeah, I'm gonna download that.
No, it's great. It's really great. It's easy too. And another place to look is a retailer called Credo. If you look on their if you look on their site, it's very clear. They talk about the dirty list and they explain it in layman's terms to understand these different chemicals that you want to look for and make sure they're not in your products.
Amazing.
In closing, let's be mindful of the fact that chemical ingredients that are found in cosmetics like BHA and BHT, triclosan and siloxanes, spelling anyone, pronunciation, can be harmful to fish and other types of wildlife.
Oh, you mean siloxanes?
There, that's the one.
Yeah.
Plasticizers like dibutyl, this is not going to go well, affect reproduction in animals, harm development in amphibians and crustaceans, and induce genetic abnormalities. Plasticizers interfere with the function of our hormone systems and the hormone systems of animals and have shown to bioaccumulate in organisms.
Hormone imbalance. Shout out to Lauren Billy and Ashley Spivak and Josh Jackson.
And Josh, right, for good shout out. Episode one, people.
Episode one.
Let's talk about hormone imbalances.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
it's a health issue. I mean, it's really a health issue. It's a political issue as well.
There's a major, major health and environmental issue that we're ignoring, and we should look at what we're putting on our skin and message. Also, purchasing products that give back directly to Oceana and other great organizations. Plus,
exactly.
Is there anything else that you would recommend for our users? Things that they can substitute in their daily skincare regimen for natural alternatives?
Well, I mean, I would say just, you know, look at the labels. Make sure you're looking at certifications. There's certifications made safe. Leaping Bunny is for cruelty-free. Make sure that things are recyclable. So, you know, I think take the time to do a little homework and look for those things. And simple things, I mean, simple things for me, I mean, I changed my toothbrush. You know, there's all those simple things with plastics and single-use plastic. I think that's important. They're very simple things that can, you know, if everyone does these things, they can change the world. So it's the same old thing.
Yeah, I've been using Giving Brush. My toothbrush is Giving Brush.
Bamboo.
Did I give you
Bamboo
one of those?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did, bro.
Yeah, I just changed mine out, so I'm very, very happy.
I am too. It's great.
But do check for companies that are sustainable and are trying. I think that's the best thing any of us can do is start to move to those companies. That will force the other companies to start changing. I mean, I think
you're in the right place.
Right. I think this whole, conscious consumerism is going to change the world. It is going to change the world.
Yeah.
But we have to demand these changes of the companies.
Do you want to be a host on a podcast?
Am I being fired?
You've certainly had a bad attitude these past episodes. Marcella, thank you so very much
for joining us
and for making the world better.
Yeah, we have an outro song inspired by One Ocean Beauty off the album Biology by Young Marco. And it's aptly named, the song is aptly named SeaWorld. Sorry, Henry. It's not what you wanted, but
really breaking my heart.
I'm the DJ and you're not.
I'm Henry Lynn.
I'm Barnett Zidrin.
Thank you for joining us on Better World.
Thank you, and thank you, Marcella.
You're welcome. Thank you.